Now, after stumbling across a mansion in Connecticut which had been unoccupied for over half a century, my next guest began to search for its owner and in doing so unravelled the story of Huguette Clark, one of America's wealthiest heiresses, who spent 80 years of her life living as a recluse, with her final years spent under a pseudonym in a hospital, even though there was nothing actually wrong with her. So who was Huguette Clark and what will become of her fortune following her death in 2011? I'm joined now by Bill Dedman, journalist, author, former Pulitzer Prize winner, who joins us from the United States. Bill, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
The book is absolutely fascinating. Just tell us a little bit about how you stumbled upon it yourself.
Well, my wife and I were looking for a house. We had moved in New York from Boston to New York, and we were looking in suburban Connecticut for a house, and I got a little bit out of our price range. I was looking at the houses we really couldn't afford at the top of the prices. And I was looking up who owned the houses in this area. And I didn't recognize this name of a house that was for sale for $24 million, and it had been marked down from $35 million. And in the public records online, it said this house has been unoccupied since this owner bought it in 1951. And I didn't understand how that could be. So I drove over to see it. It's back in the woods, but there was a caretaker's house. I rapped on the window, and this little old man in his 80s came shuffling out in his T-shirt. And he said, yes, this is Mrs. Clark's house. You get Clark. And no, I've not met Mrs. Clark or any other Clarks. I've been here 20 years. And as I was leaving, he asked me, he said, do you suppose that she's been dead all these years?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I didn't know. And it turned out that this wasn't even her nicest empty house. She had a much nicer one on the Pacific Coast in California. She had three apartments in New York City overlooking Central Park, the view that every New Yorker would want. Altogether, she had, as much living space as our president's White House, with no sign of her for decades.
And so not to mention the Monets, the Degas, the Renoirs, all of this incredible heritage in each of these houses.
Yes, and it turned out that she was the daughter of a man who in the early 1900s was as rich as Rockefeller. The New York Times said, we're not sure who the richest American is, but it's either Rockefeller or Senator W.A. Clark, a copper miner from Montana. And he's been mostly forgotten today. He had a disreputable term in the United States Senate. He was kicked out on a bribery charge. You know, he was born in 1839, and can you imagine his daughter was still alive to 2011 in the United States? She and her family had had tickets on the Titanic on its return trip, of course, which never happened. As she matter-of-factly explained, we had to take another boat.
It had sunk.
And she was still in New York City during the terror attacks of September 11, 2001.
It is an extraordinary span. But tell me a little bit about Huguette herself. She was one of two daughters that this man, W.A. Clark, had with his second wife, his second much, much younger wife.
Yeah.
And she did marry herself for a very brief period of time, and after that, more or less disappeared from public view.
Yes. Imagine she'd moved from Paris when she was about 4 years old, with her family, and imagine they were living in the largest house in New York City, 121 rooms for a family of four. The older sister died young.
Tragically.
And then the old man died, the senator died, the house was torn down, mother and daughter lived very quietly in apartments on Fifth Avenue in New York City. Huguette was married, but really technically less than 2 years, but she told her nurses later, on the honeymoon, I had to go home. And who hasn't had that feeling? So that didn't last long. And that was in 1930. And we know of times that she went out of the apartment in the 40s and 50s and 60s, but not much after that. She was remarkably not what you would expect from a recluse. Certainly not crazy. An artist, quite well educated, a student of Japanese history, a creator of interesting art projects, a patron of the arts, a donor to museums and to strangers whom she would surprise with little, she would call it my little gift for $30,000 because of some kindness that she had heard of that person doing. She had her quirks.
And how?
Over a period of 25 years, she had an attorney who represented her whom she never met. They would talk through the door or on the telephone. She didn't do well with strangers, and she told her friends that she couldn't go back to visit them in France because you never know, there might be another revolution.
Really? And but how did she, I mean, she lived, okay, after her marriage, then she lived with her mother on Park Avenue. I presume her mother died in time, and she lived more or less alone on Park Avenue. Tell me about when she was discovered as being quite ill and moved into a hospital. She was in her 80s at that point.
As she got into her 70s and 80s, she had outlived her doctor and outlived her friends, and this happens when you get to be old. And she was quite reclusive, and she didn't do well with new people, didn't hire new staff, and she ended up quite alone with only a part-time caretaker. And then she got some cancers on her face, just basal cell carcinomas, usually would be removed, you know, at the doctor's office quite easily, but they got out of control and damaged her lip and around her eye quite severely, and she was not able to eat, and she was down to about 70 pounds. And she sent up an SOS to a friend, and a doctor came over and got her into the hospital that night immediately. And she got fixed up. She wasn't disfigured. She had surgery and was better. But she said, I want to stay here in the hospital. And she stayed, and that's what, of course, drew her attention to us. But she stayed in
that
hospital.
She was there for 2 decades, over 2 decades.
300 nights. More than 20 years.
It's unbelievable. And that's when things got really quite complicated with her will, wasn't it? She tried to leave the bulk of her fortune to the nurse who was with her for most of those 20 years.
Yes, and to a charity as well. But here's a woman living in a hospital with more than $300 to $400 million that she had spent unwisely. She'd bought Stradivarius violins and great paintings. She had a nurse, a Filipino immigrant, who had been randomly assigned to Huguette and was in the hospital essentially with her as a private duty nurse for 20 years. And during that time, Huguette gave the nurse about $31 million in gifts for her family, a bit at a time. And in her will was to leave her another $30 million. But after Huguette died, of course, relatives showed up. These were descendants of her father from his first marriage, distant relatives to Huguette. She had talked with some of them or their parents on the phone from time to time, but they hadn't visited, and there was very little contact. But they came, they challenged her will, and ended up getting about a tenth of her fortune out of the settlement of that estate.
Yeah, it is a really fascinating story, and you have it all in your new book. But Bill, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.